Like I say, we appreciate that song service this evening. Opportunity to come this way. Just thankful for it. You want to read with us tonight? We're going to read some out of 1 Timothy. The second chapter. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Just listen close to the reading. This evening. Get a little bit of good news. We was at Stoner's last night and had two saved. Had a brother and a sister that got saved. Don't see that very much. Don't hear of it very much anyway. Know they in revivals, so you remember them. Got just a little bit of a thought. Don't know altogether what we'll do, if we'll do very much of anything, but we're going to read this. I know that Timothy, you get in the book of Timothy, and there's a lot of charging going on concerning pretty much the whole church, just to be honest with you. It's not just about preachers and deacons, but it covers pretty much everybody as far as that goes. And I thought as I read this, and knowing just sometimes it's hard to get ourselves out of the way, so you just pray that we will get ourselves out of the way. Do that, we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. There's some things in this scripture that are very controversial, to say the least. Not very popular in this day and hour, and don't reckon I'm going to get on any of that, but I may read it tonight. There are some things that we got to the place we just don't ever hear read anymore about certain things, and we're living in a time where people get offended. Now, if I offend you, it's one thing, but if the Word of God offends you, then there's not a whole lot I can do about that. But it is the Word of God. It's true. Not trying to scare you tonight. I'm not going to run you off, I don't reckon. Second chapter, 1 Timothy. Says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But if I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the second chapter of the book of 1 Timothy. There's some things that's in this chapter, as I've already said, that you don't hear much anymore, and you don't hear people talk too much about it, and you don't hear it preached about very seldom, if any, just to be honest with you. And I'm not going to preach tonight on some of the touchy things to say. And they are, well, we might as well admit it, they are. I read a verse of Scripture one time, and I've probably read it here. It talks about in the book of Revelation that there will be space in heaven for about a half an hour would be silence. Be silence. It's proof that women ain't going to heaven, because there's very few women that are silent. Now, that's about the most humor you'll get out of me, just to be honest with you. There's some things here concerning, and there's an age-old adage sometimes between men and women when men say that they wouldn't deceive, but the woman was. And the truth of it is, this is what the Scripture says. This is what this verse says. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You say, preacher, you wouldn't go and get on them touchy things. I'm not. I'm just telling you. But the truth of it is, Adam partook of that God said not to. Didn't make no difference. And the sin was charged to Adam. And the punishment for sin came upon all men, women alike, even the beast of the field, the serpent. Most certainly did. I'm not going to get into that. There's some things in this Scripture that we need to pay attention to. If there's ever been a day or a time that people ought to pray for those that are in authority, it ought to be today. It really ought to be a day. You say, preacher, I don't like them. It really doesn't matter whether you like them or dislike them. You ought to pray for them. For this reason, the Bible says, here he said, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know there's people in this world that I wonder myself if the Lord could ever touch them. But the truth of it is, he can. He can. And the fact of it is that they'll never change till he does. They'll never change. They'll be just the same. Worked with down at the hardware for several years, and the older Mr. Jarrett, it was his hanging out place. He'd come down every day, and he'd spend time with us, and he is in there one day, and we was talking about something I done forgot. And then he up and said, he said, you know, Randy, he said, I don't believe Jesus Christ himself can satisfy some people. And you say, preacher, what did he mean? Just exactly what he said. There's some people I just don't think you can satisfy. It'll take the Lord to satisfy them. It most certainly will. There's no doubt about it. But neither here nor there, the truth of it is that God will have all men to be saved. All men to be saved. It said, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, I want to talk just a little bit tonight, God being our helper, about him, my friend, that stood between God and man. And I'm not talking about Moses. The Bible says here in the next verse, he said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Brethren, they was one thing about it in the beginning of this world, before the foundation of this world was ever put in place, my friend, Christ died for all. He was slain from the foundation of the world. There was a day coming. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. He was crucified. Brethren, after he had been on the earth for 33 and a half years, yes, he was. But read the rest of it. He said he should be testified in due time. In due time. What was that due time? It was when God sent him. Brethren, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Amen. Yes, he did. Brethren, he sent him to be the redeemer, to be the ransom, to be the propitiation between God and man tonight. And my friend, I'm glad we've got one. Don't you? I am. I'm glad. Now, there's not anything. You say, preacher, I can't pray to God then. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know why you can? Because Jesus, thank God, is the intercessor. Yes, sir. You pray in Jesus' name, see if God won't hear you. There's some things, brethren, that we ought to think about. It's not just me and you. Brethren, it's just not me and you that's in this thing. Brethren, God's out to save every man. You believe that? Why, preacher, he ain't going to save them all. Well, he'll save all that believes. Won't he? He saved you, didn't he? Think about it. What was you? Was it worthy to be saved? Brethren, you're just a sinner needing to be saved. Yes, you was. So was I. So was many others. I've thought a lot of times, my friend, that we'll put a lot of emphasis, brethren, on that one that God had pulled out of the ruts and out of the evil and the crucial evil and the wickedness of this world. We'll think a lot about a testimony like that, where God brought them from. My friend, but it's just as real to a five-year-old if they get saved tonight. Just as real and just as powerful. Sister Linda Lunsford testified one night. People was getting up testifying, and she got up testifying. She said, well, he didn't pull me out of all that, but she said, I thank God that he's kept me out of all that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My friend, God's able tonight
not just able, he wants to. Yes, he does. He wants to save all man. All man. Bible teaches us in the days of Adam, when Adam sinned, brethren, then sin fell upon all men because of one man's disobedience. One man, disobedience, all have become sinners. Preacher, I ain't no sinner. There'll come a day, my friend, you'll be a sinner or you'll never get saved. You know that? You'll never get saved. It doesn't mean, bro, that you've done all these terrible things to be a sinner. That ain't what it's talking about. And I'll just be plain with you. Brethren, a drunkard ain't going out of hell because he's a drunkard. Brethren, he's going because he don't believe God. Think about it. You say, preacher, that's strong. It doesn't matter. My friend, it ain't the wickedness that a lot of people's doing, my friend. It's what's in their heart. And their heart ain't never been changed. Have you ever heard somebody tell you they's going to quit smoking? Now, I'm not going to get on smoking, but I'll say this. I've heard people, my friend, I'm laying it down. I'm quitting. Lay it down. They laid it down for about a day. Then the next day, they're back smoking. I ain't saying nothing for nothing. It's the same way. You don't have the will, my friend. You might have a strong determination. You can sit in the pew in the church, and brother, God's spirit be all around, and you have the best intentions of the world, and brother, and still not make it come to pass. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. There's a lot of things, my friend, that's captured people. I know that has captured people, that has overtaken people into a place, my friend, that they can't get out of the rut they're in. Then they think within themselves that there's no hope, no hope, no way. There's a man that was brought to the pool of Bethesda. Was he not? Somebody took him there. I don't know if it's the same person. It might have been different people. But he had that infirmity for 38 years. 38 years he had that infirmity. Now, I don't know if he had been 38 years took to the pool or not. But the truth of it is, the pool is where he is at. And somebody brought him there, and he was there, my friend, because he wanted to get in when the waters was troubled. It's what he wanted. He had a great desire. Somebody took him and left him. Do you know that? They took him and they left him. And brethren, and when Jesus come on the scene, he talked to him about his infirmity. He said, yea, Lord, but he says, while I'm a-going, I doubt he could run. But while he was on his way, somebody else beat him in the water. Somebody else beat him in the water. Do you know what? He had intended to get to the water. He was headed for the water. But he had nothing in it. His own self that he could make it, my friend. You know why Jesus came into this world? Because we didn't have the means to make it. Man, under the law, my friend, and you want to talk about the law. Brethren, well, you can get into the law, but they wasn't a man that could keep the law. Not one, brethren. The Bible says if you was guilty of one, you're guilty of all of them. Yes, sir. But brethren, here come a man. Here come a man. Why do you think it was that Abraham and Moses and the prophets desired to see our day? They looked down into our day. Oh, Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm just going to be honest. I believe the Lord showed it to him. But brethren, he never did enter in under the law. No, he didn't. And the truth of it is, the law and that of circumcision, brethren, it didn't avail Abraham one thing. No, sir. It was a sign, my friend, unto Abraham. Yes, it was. He had faith, yet being uncircumcised. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did Abraham even live under the Mosaic law? No, he didn't. Think about it. Man, my friend, had a desire to have fellowship with God, and he could not make it. And God had a desire to have fellowship with man. But sin had to be paid for. Do you know that? Sin had to be paid for. A ransom. What is a ransom? You know what a ransom is? It's a payment, my friend, for something. Is it not? A lot of times it's used in that of kidnapping, what a lot of folks thinks about. But he paid the ransom, my friend. He paid the debt. He paid the debt that he did not owe. Thank God we had a debt we could not pay. Can I tell you something? Tell you. Tonight, this very night, God has never demanded that you pay that debt. You ain't got it within you. If you did, my friend, then he come in vain. He died in vain. He redeemed us in vain. If man could get there without God or without Jesus. Jesus, the mediator. That what he said, one God. One writer says there's one God in you all, through you all, and then something together of all in all. Is he not? He's all in all. He's one. He is one. And Christ said, even himself while he was here, he says, I and my Father are one. Are one. Thank God, are means more than one. But thank God he said, we're one. Yes, sir, we're one. These people, my friend, that just don't believe in a Trinity, but the fact of it is you can read it throughout this scripture over and over and over again. And the fact of it is it was in the beginning. Yes, it was. A ransom. He paid the ransom. He paid the sin debt. He became the propitiation. He became the mediator. The mediator. Now, who is it? Who is it that hears our prayers? Who is it that hears our prayers? How is it that we pray? And who is it that we think hears us? I'm not trying to be funny tonight. You know, the truth of the matter of it is, the real truth of it is, if a man could have bought himself that of redemption, then the rich young ruler, my friend, would have been saved. Yes, he would have. He'd have probably paid a great price. But you know what? He wasn't willing to do what it was expected. There's a lot of people, my friend, that's willing to live right, but brethren, they're not willing to pay the price to do so. You cannot tonight. Now, I may turn just a little bit on you, but I can't help this. This is really what the Scripture teaches, whether you'll have it or not. My friend, there was one time that I was a goat. You get that? There was one time that I was a goat, but thank God I was changed to a sheep. And brethren, I'll never be a goat again. You'll always be a sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice. Do they not? Preacher, I don't know where I believe that or not. Well, the truth of it is, if you're a sheep, my friend, you're going to act like a sheep. I appreciate Brother Danny. He gets on some things sometime on Sunday morning, but I appreciate him. I really do. And these folks round about says, well, preacher, I don't know whether I can handle all that or not. Well, why can't you? Ain't you a sheep? Thank God there ain't nothing wrong with being a sheep. No, sir, if you're a sheep, my friend, act like a sheep. Thank God, live like a sheep. And listen to God, for God is your shepherd. He said he was the shepherd unto the sheepfold. He said he was the door unto the sheepfold. Now I'm going to tell you something, my friend. There ain't no goat going in. No, sir. No, sir. Never will be one get there. Preacher, I don't know about that either. Well, I do. I'm going to preach it to you. He said the goats is on the left and the sheep's on the right. That not what he said? Yes, sir. I might have been on the left. Thank God I ain't on the left no more. No, sir. I ain't on the left no more. I have a mediator. I have someone, my friend, that goes to him for me. That goes to the Lord for me. One that makes intercession. Intercession. Did you know tonight, according to the Scripture, that when you pray that you really don't know what to pray? Oh, preacher, I've had a burden on my heart. I've had something on me and I can't get rid of. And I got down and I prayed about it. Well, I'm going to say this, and you may not like it, but I'm going to say this. If you got down and really prayed between you and the Lord, you probably prayed something you don't even know nothing about. Oh, that's far-fetched, preacher. It might be. You might have had something on your heart and on your mind, but the fact of it is that Spirit, my friend, maketh intercession. That Spirit, my friend, maketh utterance that you know nothing about. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't know even how to pray. Thank God without the Spirit tonight. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Preacher, I didn't think you was going to get on touchy things. This is touchy to a lot of folks. But the truth of the matter of it is, I realized, it took me a while, but I realized, thank God, one day, my friend, that my prayers that I was praying wasn't really what I was praying. You say, preacher, it don't make a lick of sense. It probably don't. It probably don't. But the real truth of it is, my friend, you get down to pray and you see if you'll leave here. You'll leave here if that Spirit gets to praying. You know that? You won't be here. No, you won't. You won't be here. No, sir, you won't be in the midst here. It ain't every time. You've heard men say they didn't pray every time they got down. I don't pray every time, but I, I say some good words, I think, sometimes. I really do. I'm honest about it. But the truth of it is, the real truth of it is, brethren, that spirit within you, brethren, it just makes groanings. Glory, hallelujah. Nothing but the spirit, my friend, can make the difference. Is it not spiritual? There's too many people living on earth. You know that. You ain't going to believe that. I'm going to bring my remarks to a close. I done preached more than I felt like preaching. But I appreciate the fact that there's a mediator. There's a mediator. The real truth of it is that the Lord already knows what you need, and He knows what you're burdened about to begin with. Preacher, why do we have to pray? Sort of works like a father and a mother and their children. There's a lot of times that I felt like my children probably needed some things, but I wasn't going to do nothing until they come ask me on certain things. On certain things. I ain't talking about everything, but on certain things. I believe the Lord the same way. But the Lord, when He looks at mankind, what does He see? When He looks at mankind, did you know that He looks at man a little different than He used to? The Lord, I've had something. I'll just leave it like that. I don't talk a lot about when the Lord impressed me with something. Been over a year or so back, and I've thought several times, well, I get to use that here and I'll use it here, but you know it ain't come yet. And it's worthwhile. I'll just say that it's worthwhile. If it ain't worthwhile for nobody else, I've eat off of it for a year. I don't think I'm going to eat it up before you get a hold of it. But it's coming. I just know it's coming. You won't do any better in this world than what the Lord can give you. You won't do any better. You won't live a better life than what the Lord will give you. But you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe. And believing a lot of times has works with it. Do you know what? Faith without works is dead. So is works without faith. Takes them both. Hope you got something out of the message. We've got one mediator. We got one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I'm glad that He's still seeking men to be saved. Anybody got anything you need to say or do?